You are now listening to Ride With Me, the Flatarity Podcast.
Welcome to Ride With Me, episode 99. Today is October 2023. Fuck, I'm fucking up, bro. But I'm glad that it's back-to-back podcast episodes. Oh, my bad. And my guest is Officer Ricky.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Good to be back.
Hey, bro, we're at the point where I don't have to introduce you, bro. That's it.
Bro, you're about to say 1999.
I almost fucking did.
What was on your mind about that?
If we go back to last week's episode, I even fucked up the ending. You know how I say, and like I end every podcast, taking pride. I butchered it.
Did you? You know what's funny? I didn't notice it.
I did as I was saying it. It is what it is.
That, you know what? That's fucked up on my part, because that means I was just waiting for you to stop talking and be like, thanks for having me.
No, I fucked up. I fucked up the ending. But that's all right, man. Like I said, I took time off. We go back to the garage being hot.
Yeah.
We go back to mosquitoes being fucking pains in the ass.
Yeah.
Today, actually, Fumigator came over to the house.
Yeah, you can smell a little bit.
Yeah, so he did his thing. He sprayed around the house.
Luckily, it's actually a pleasant smell, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
He
addressed some stuff or whatever. So, yeah, no, it's all good.
Because you know when you go into some homes and they're fumigated, they have like that nasty chemical smell?
Yeah.
They have some good shit now where you can live in. Like, this is fine. Like, when I came in, I smelled something different. I remember you telling me, I just had it fumigated. And I was oh, man, I honestly smell straight.
And then this thing's also helping.
Yeah.
Just hope it's not burning your face.
No.
Burning your eyes. No. Like smoking your eyes? No? Okay.
Mm-mm, not at all.
We have a rose. I can't say it right.
Incense.
Incense. Yeah. A rose smell. They've been doing the trick. No mosquito bites.
Yeah. No, it's been, you know, I feel something on my ankle though.
My God. They like you, bro.
They're the ankle biters like you were saying last time.
They like you, bro. That's all it is.
They found my one weakness, and they got. I feel something on my ankles. So.
They like you. Well, as promised, I did say that I was going to start recording more podcast episodes for some of you guys that have been reaching out. I really don't understand why you guys like hearing the shit that we have to say, but I appreciate it. It actually, I'm not going to say exactly what, but it actually was. It was my podcast was brought up to someone's attention. And hopefully something in December, we might have some good news coming.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that someone heard my podcast and reached out to me via email. So
yeah, nice.
We'll see what's up.
Yeah. What's up?
What's up with that later on. But what's up with Ricky the last week? Because we were just on here a week ago.
Man, not much really besides work. Obviously prepping for the baby to come and around Christmas time. You know, we saw her yesterday, obviously through ultrasound. So it was cool. Everything's going good. Just getting the house ready. That's really been about it. Everyone nowadays asks me, oh, you know, what do you do now? I'm like, I'm just prepping the house and trying to, because we have obviously dogs, trying to keep it as clean consistently as possible, you know, because we have something more sensitive, you know.
Right.
So like the baby's room is always closed now. The dogs do not go in there, you know, even because it's a Jack and Jill bathroom. So and that's the bathroom that I use mainly. That door is constantly closed because the dogs stay in our room, you know, once in a while. So just so that we just eliminate any possibility of hair going in. Yeah. So those doors are constantly closed.
I have an easy fix for those dogs.
No, we love them. Thank you.
That's saying, you know, this thing called a pound. That's all. Sorry, Paul. I know you love dogs. I'm just joking, bro. I'm just joking. No, the same here, bro. Just work this week was it's just the same thing, man. It's like, what does they say that when you wake up and you do the same exact thing every day, it's like living in the Matrix.
Yeah,
I do that every day, bro. Monday, I wake up at 3:30 and walk out the door at 4:45. Tuesday, wake up at 3:30, walk out the door at 4:45. It's every Monday through Friday. What was different today, and I told you I've been fasting, so what changed today was that I woke up tired. The boys are in band, they're in the teacher asked if we were going to go. His band teacher, instructor, asked if we were going to go because I've been obviously taking photos of the band, the game, mm-hmm. the performance, their everything. So, but last night was senior night. So the teacher asked if I can focus mainly on the seniors. Bro, I didn't get to bed till freaking 11 o'clock.
That's late for you, especially on a work day.
Exactly. You damn well know.
Remind the people what time you go to bed typically on a work day?
7:30.
P.M.
7:30 p.m. There's days that there's still sunlight outside, and I'm already in bed.
That's insane, man. That's insane.
Because here's the thing, though. I go to bed at 7:30. That doesn't mean I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
I'm going to toss and turn. I'm going to get up at night to use the restroom. So that's, you know, it's funny because I looked at my watch the other day, and it said that even though I went to bed at 7:30, I only slept for 6 hours.
Yeah. I was actually watching, I think it was Joe Rogan's podcast where they talked about that, where they said how sleep, people think that just because you maybe got 6-7 hours of sleep, but like you said, it's not consistent, that it actually still affects, as if like pretty much like they were saying that if you were to sleep 4 hours straight, that's better than getting 6 hours inconsistent, like waking up every hour or two.
Right.
You know, because again, the whole point is to get in that rapid eye movement, that REM sleep. So, yeah, just be careful with that. So, because it can still be fatiguing on the mind.
First of all,
I know
you don't mention anyone else's fucking podcast on the episode on the podcast that you're a part of for a long time. How dare you?
Say
Lavato's name on my podcast.
It at the end. I'm sorry. It's the goat.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
But he's right. It's like I said, I've been like I normally don't sleep with my Fitbit, but lately I have, and to monitor my sleep to see how long, and it's like the REM part that you have to sleep, whatever. So
I don't remember the exact numbers,
but yeah, that part, it's like that is a part of your mind when you're dreaming.
Yeah.
And that number's always low. The higher the number, the better, but no, that number's always low.
Yeah, I realize right now too that I haven't been dreaming a lot, but that's because I haven't been in that REM cycle, mainly because these puppies and Athena, they get up a lot. She uses the restroom a lot because she's constantly hydrating herself, constantly wanting to eat because she needs the nourishments and stuff. So, and I obviously don't want Betty to wake up, you know, so.
I'm going to shoot those dogs, bro.
Wait, which dog's mine?
The ones in the background making noise.
Yeah, so I also don't get a lot of great consistent sleep, but I mean, I definitely still get around my 6-7 hours as well, just not consistently.
I don't own a gun, by the way, so I can't shoot no dogs. I've asked Officer Ricky to take me shooting, but that hasn't happened. He'd rather go golfing.
Yeah. Nerd. Yeah. That's actually where I came from right now. I went to the range.
Fucking
yeah, bad, dude. Because I'm playing tomorrow, so I had to get a little practice in real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it must be nice. Yeah. I have a busy day tomorrow. The boys are having their band tournament at the school they're hosting. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much, they're going to put us in the stand to sell hot dogs and pizza and nachos from like 12 to like 10 o'clock, bro. I was like, why the fuck did we sign up for this shit?
Because you got two boys in there.
But it brings a topic of how much we love our kids.
Yes, it does. Yes.
So yeah, speaking of how much we love our kids, last week I mentioned that I was going through a little dilemma with Nicholas being honest with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so my update would be an outcome of a continuance of what happened, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nicholas, on Sunday, man, before we went to church, he was just being snappy. And no matter what I said, it's like he bit my head off. Like, the fuck, man? Like, it got to the point where I'm like, dude, do I need to sign you up for therapy? Do I got to look for a therapist for you? And he, you know, the first, I guess it's the self-defense mechanism where the first reaction is like, fuck off, kind of like a right thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell he got mad. I'm like, whoa, 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 Nick. There's no need to get upset, kid. It's okay. Therapy's okay. I went to therapy. I did therapy for a few years. Actually, therapy help me get custody of you guys. There's nothing wrong with therapy.
Yeah.
And he was listening, but I was like, I'm still not getting through to him. And he's like, well, what's wrong, kid? What's wrong? It's like, I can tell you have all this buildup anger inside. What's wrong? And it's like, and I keep reminding myself, I keep quoting the Big Daddy movie. You're mad at your dad, not me.
Yeah.
In this case, yeah. I know who he's mad at.
Yeah.
So I told him, kid, you have a lot of anger inside and I need you to get it off. I need you to, like, example, the first thing they teach you in therapy is your triggers. What upsets you? Why it upsets you? You know, with me, again, being tardy, it's like, fuck, my God. And it goes back to my childhood of why I hate being tardy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking him, kid, like, what's wrong? And he doesn't want to answer. And excuse me, sorry. He doesn't want to answer. And kid, what's wrong? And you have all this anger inside. And he's like, and then he kind of like, I don't know exactly what it was that I said, but he started to finally cry. So he started to cry. And then, my wife Letty hugged him. And then when the word, next phrase that came out, the next line that came out of his mouth is what got my attention. He said, I'm just tired. And I want to sleep. Bro, the last time I said that, I almost jumped in front of a train.
Mm-hmm.
So I hugged him and I started talking to him. Kid, what is it, man? You know, we love you, kid. You know, what's wrong? And I just flat out said it, man. Like, you're not mad at me. You're not mad at me. You're a 16-year-old boy that has everything a 16-year-old boy could need or want or have. And more. Mm-hmm. I didn't have everything that you have at 16. When I was 16, shit, you even have a girlfriend that you classify a girlfriend. So when I talked about a girl when I was 16 years old, I would get popped in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You have everything a 16-year-old boy needs and more. My wife said the same thing. And those dogs, I'm going to freaking go check them out. My wife told him the same thing. Yes, kid, you have everything a 16-year-old needs. Life is not that bad. And so he was crying, and I told him, like I asked him again, like, what's bothering you, man? What's going on? And so remember what I said last week, that he doesn't want his mom around for, like, his band tournament and stuff like that. He doesn't want to have to explain who she is to his friends.
Yeah.
So what I got from him was the fact that he... it's like he's kicking himself in the ass because he doesn't, in a way, it's like he doesn't know what he wants. So he doesn't want her to come to his band performances because he doesn't want to have to explain to his friends who she is. But at the same time, she wants her to try, right? So at least reach out. So for example, he got his phone in August.
Yeah.
Bro, she didn't text him for like a month and a half. She had his number since day one. Hey, here's their numbers. You know, one ends with a 60, that's Nick's. The other one's 58, that's Julian. Boom. Those are the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And never text him. The only time she texts is towards close to the visit. You know, hi, my babies. What do you guys, you know? Like, I hate when she talks to them like they're infants, bro.
Yeah.
They're not infants. But anyways, Nick, like, is, like, between a rock and a hard place himself because he doesn't want her to be around, but at the same time he wants her to try. So pretty much, how can someone have kids and not pretty much try to be a mother?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he came to the right person, bro. 41 years and I'm still trying to kick myself, I'm still kicking myself in the ass of why my mother, I feel that my mother doesn't love me.
Yeah.
So I he came to the right person. So I told him, kid, you just have to be honest. You have to be honest. You have to tell her what's up. And if you, I mean, do you want to go to the visit? Do you not want to go to the visit? She's like, well, I don't want to go. And like, what have you told her? Have you told her what you're telling me about her not trying? Kid, at the end of the day, again, you're not mad at me, bro. You're mad at her.
Yeah.
And you just take it out on us because you don't show her that anger. You only show it to us. You don't snap at her. You only snap at us. So so we were going to get ready to church and we went to church and you know, the part where the people get up to go get the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
So the boys have been going to get in the Eucharist And when they were walking to get it, I told the wife, I'm like, fuck, I feel like I failed these kids. Like, now my son is talking like, you know, fucking talking about wanting to sleep. Like, that's scary. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you didn't fail them. You didn't, you're a great dad. The only thing is that we know you love us. You just got to show us more often. Mm-hmm. And because I grew up not having that, so I don't do it naturally. It doesn't naturally come.
Yeah.
I pretty much show them I love them with things or for example, today, that Taylor Swift album, 1989, Taylor's version just came out, the vinyl. And I was at the I have a Target on my run. Uh-huh. And I got the receiving opens at 7:30. The store opens at 8. So I went through receiving. The receiver's like, hey, what's up, man? Didn't you write the order yesterday? I'm like, yeah, but that album came out today. He's like, oh, okay, yeah. Tell the person running the register and electronics where I have it been, because it been stuff. So you scan the floor and, oh, okay, it's back here. Let me go get it. Oh, okay, it helps us when people that use the app.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it says they have 5 in stock. Okay, cool. There's none in the floor. Oh, okay, hold on. They check. Oh, okay, we know where it's at. They're going to get it. Mm-hmm. So he told me, tell her so-and-so to where I have them. Okay, no problem. I go and I'm waiting, and then you hear the lady on the walkie-talkie, hey, the 1989 album, there's two customers waiting for the albums. And I turn around, look at the lady, and I'm like, hey, I was here first. And she goes, no, you get the first one. All right, cool. There comes the guy with the album. And then we're talking about Taylor Swift and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, I can't be embarrassed or whatever to buy my son an album of Taylor Swift because I was obsessed with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
I know what's up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I told the lady, all I need is for her to go crazy and my son will forget about her. You know, she needs to lose a screw. We're good. The guy comes out with the albums. He had a nice stack on him. And he hands the first album to the lady. And the lady says he was here first.
Yeah.
Which he has multiple albums,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, so this one's mine. And I took it from the lady's hand because this was the first album that came out. Boom. And I grabbed it. So, and she laughed. She knew what's up. She knew fucking train. She knew what's up. And the guy was like, he didn't know what was going on, but yeah, okay, like, whatever. Oh. The album's an album, but whatever.
Yeah.
Took off, went and paid for it, whatever. So then I sent a group text. And I said, I literally took this from a lady's hand.
Yeah.
Because I was the first one waiting for it. I love you, Goofy Goober. And we've been saying Goofy Goober lately.
Yeah, yeah.
So, oh my God, Dad, thank you so much. I love you so much. And I responded with, I loved you first.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck, fair point. You know, fair point. So I show them that I love them, I guess, with gifts. I'm not really good at showing affections.
Yeah.
And even my wife is like, sometimes she tells me, will they kill you just to give me a fucking hug? And I'm just not like that. I'm not built that way.
Yeah.
You know?
I dealt with something very similar. So not obviously me personally, but from work, I had a 16-year-old. She called in the police herself saying that she wanted to commit suicide. She hadn't done anything yet. But she said she had these thoughts and that, you know, because she's already diagnosed depression and stuff. So I guess she was reaching a dark spot. Later come find out that, you know, she was having some relationship issues at school and stuff like that. So it was just like she played basketball, but she was injured. So a lot of stuff for her that she, I guess, was her escape, you know, no longer existed. So coping with it was very hard. So she hit a dark spot. So she calls, we get there. I'm talking to her, she's very nice, you know, a little 16-year-old girl, you know, and her 18-year-old sister is there. And I was talking to the dad, you know, all Hispanic people. And I guess talking to the dad, I find out that the mom walked out about 5 years ago. She ended up choosing the streets. She got into drugs and just chose pretty much the streets and drugs over the family. So she was gone. It was just the dad alone. Same thing, Hispanic, tough, you know. And when you were telling me the story before, what resonated was the exact same thing, was that exactly what the dad was saying. You know, like we was talking, because the girls were sitting down on a couch, and, you know, because we have to wait for our mental evaluation unit obviously I spoke to them and get the thing, but then we get our final advisement from our mental evaluation unit on what they would like us to do. Obviously we're gonna put her on a hold to go to the hospital, but they come with the counselor and they do a more thorough evaluation. So while we're waiting, we're making conversation, and the dad was just not listening. Pretty much he was saying the same thing, you know, look what I do for you, you know how, not like how hard you have it, but he was saying like, you have everything, you have a house, you have food, you have your electronics, you know, you have more than I did as a kid, you know, why, you know, yes, your mom left, but like you guys said, you know, she's dead to you now. They kept saying, yeah, she's dead to us now, though. She was a great mom when she was here, but ever since she left, because he thought that, oh no, they're still just acting out because of the mom. That's part of it, for sure. But what he failed to realize, and afterwards I spoke to him, because one thing that the final straw that broke the camel's back was when I told him, okay, hey, well, when, because they did their evaluation, they're gonna take it to the hospital. Well, just for our policy, we have to have, everyone's gonna go transported that suffering some form of mental illness has to be handcuffed in the back of even, like, because they don't have, it's not a normal police car, it's like a detective car, so there's no cage, you know, it's like regular seats, so, but they have to be handcuffed in the back. So I told him, hey, I'm gonna, you know, just so you know, she's gonna be handcuffed. And I told her that too, and he was like, see this is what you wanted. So I was like, that's not what you said. So I pulled him aside and I told him, I'm like, look, man, you weren't listening to what your daughters were saying. They kept telling you multiple times that they're not, both of them, that they're not questioning you on how you provide. Not once. They kept saying, that's not what we're angry about. What they're angry about is that you haven't showed your support. You haven't showed your empathy. You haven't showed the other side of love besides our natural, for us men, natural born instinct, which is the providing. You've been a great provider. They've said that multiple times. But I don't think you're listening, because they literally told you that. Like, that's like, no, that's not what we're saying. You're missing out on the second part. And that's what a mother's natural instinct is. But mom's not here. And if you listen, that's what they said. They said, when she was here, she was a great mom. But now that she's not here, they already moved on with her. You know, maybe not fully, but they've accepted that she's not coming back. And I think that's the part where Nick is having a hard time too, because he still sees her. So it's hard to be like, okay, well, I don't have to worry about what homegirl's saying anymore or what she's thinking, because I don't deal with her anymore. It's like if your ex-girlfriend was still here. If she lived with you, can you really get over her when you're with someone else? No, because they're constantly around.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's hard for him to truly accept and move on, because he's still being around it. And at the same time, too, he's also witnessing how she is with his other siblings. And that was the exact same thing that was going on here. They were saying that they just didn't feel that sympathy, empathy, connection, love from the dad. The understanding portion that, again, does not come natural to us automatically for us men. For some, yeah, but generally it is not. And so that's what they're pretty much trying to tell him.
Well, that's what the wife made it crystal clear, mm-hmm, at church. It was like, we know you love us. You just got to show it more often. And yeah, Nick, because, you know, the boys bicker back and forth when we're at church. They're sitting next, mm-hmm, to each other, and they're kind of, come on, man. You guys are teenage boys. Like, really? Like, so we had to separate them, man.
Yeah.
So I put, last week I put Julian on my left side, and Nick was on Letty's right side. And then we had to, I'm like, let's flip them this time. And I, not because what happened with Nick before we went to church, but that was already the original plan.
Mm-hmm.
Put Nick on my side, on my left side, and Julian on Letty's right side. And just him sitting there next to me, like, the entire time. He kept on putting his head on my shoulder grabbing my hand. And I get it, man. I that's the part where I failed in. Like, they failed me in. There we go. That's where they failed me in, showing me love that I don't know. I feel like Ricky Bobby. What do I do with my hands? Yeah. What do I do with my hands? You know, and like I said, the wife made it crystal clear. We know you love us.
Yeah.
You just got to show it more often, you know? And I mean, like I said, that it was a good Sunday. In fact, I call the wife every day. I try to call her every day around 8:30 because I know mm-hmm. the kids are in school by then. She's home already. She's not driving. She's home. And every day is, how are you doing? How'd you sleep? And then, how were the boys? So I asked her this morning, I asked her, how has Nick been since Sunday? And she said, honestly, a 360.
Yeah.
A 360. Maybe he needed to get that off his chest.
100%.
And, she said he's been a 360. And, I mean, I see him at, like, yesterday, man, we were at the performance, and I looked at the wife, and I'm like, look at our boy, man. He's over there banging the shit out of that fucking bass drum. Bah, bah, bah. And then Julian's over there fucking banging the shit out of the vibraphone.
I don't remember.
Vibraphone, yeah, bro. I know it because I Googled that shit yesterday. Vibraphone. And, so I was like, I'm so proud of them, bro.
Yeah.
So Nick, today, so the text message that we had going when I showed him the album, he texted, he put on his, he screenshot it and put it on his Instagram story. And he said, yeah, you know, pretty much how I'm best dad or something like that. Right.
Best dad.
Yeah. The best dad. And then, I shared it on my story and yeah. I put, I would give you the moon if I could. Hashtag shrink ray. and I just told him, and then he, you know, on the Lolo, he texted me from that post. And I just don't care. I don't know if you know how much I fucking love you, man. I you guys are my world, man.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you know, I got to do better, bro. Teachable yeah. moment for you, bro, is obviously you were raised differently, man.
Yeah, no, I would say, and that's why I said it early on in the podcast, I think before too, I think before even the announcement, was that I wanted to grow for that reason. I wanted, because I feel like that's what my dad did, right? My dad had my sister first. And I think I talked to him and he said, because, you know, my dad's family, they're very hardcore, you know, very traditional Hispanic Mexican, you know, give me 1 second.
Sweat?
No, like my ears start itching randomly.
Mosquito.
Yeah, probably. So they, you know, just hardcore, like a lot of my uncles are just, you know, rock, you know, stone cold.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but my dad's the opposite now. You know, because he was the youngest one, so he got punked a lot. But we had my sister. I guess he changed around. He learned that little empathy side, you know. And so when it came to me, yeah, it was tough on me for sure. Like, there was no doubt. But I think because he had my sister first, he also learned, hey, you know, I also got to be sensitive.
Yeah.
So when it came to those teachable moments, he knew, you know, like, hey, you know what? Like, it's okay to love and hug your kids, you know, like it's okay for the guy to also do that.
Yeah,
you know, and maybe he figured that out on his own. Maybe he didn't like it, that because he would always say, you know, my dad never hugged us, you know, he never hugged us, you know. And then my grandma, his mom, you know, she was blind, or she went blind when he was like a teenager. So how often was that really happening too,
right?
You know, so I think he just saw what he missed out on, and when he had my sister, it enabled him to really emphasize it. And when it came to me, he was now accustomed to it, so it was an easy transition. And then my youngest sister came afterwards, so then it was just, you know, he didn't mind showing all of us the same love. It's just, yeah, he was harder for sure on me a little bit. I'm sure my sisters would argue that one. They mm-hmm. would say that I was a favorite because I was the only boy. But, you know, I mean, he was for sure hard, but again, very also sensitive. And that's what I wanted. So when I learned that, I was like, okay, because I feel like I'm different with, you know, like my male nephews compared to my female nephews. Like I'm definitely more sensitive with them. With my male nephews, I'm like, yo, I'm got tough you motherfuckers up. You know, you motherfuckers are soft. But I'm like, that I need to cut that out too. You know, I'm like, no, I gotta be sensitive and understanding.
It's funny because the wife reminded me, because Julian likes to come up to me and say, Dad, want to cuddle? Want to cuddle? Mm-hmm. Dude, in one fucking hour, he asked like 20 times. And my brother Danny's just fucking laughing. Dad, you want to cuddle? Dad, you want to cuddle? And I'm like, shut the fuck up already. And the wife's like reminding me, remember back in the day when they were little? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, they're cute,
how many fucking times did you guys go and have a snuggle party? And I remember the first time I did that shit. Snuggle party, and I freaking hugged the kids, and then there comes their mom, their biological mom, the baby's mama, and she tries to get into it. I'm like, whoa, this party's by invitation only. What invitation? Last name. Suck it, bitch. And I'm like, oops. Yeah, by invitation only, by last name only. And she was like, whatever. But then my wife reminds me, you started that shit when they were little. Now they want to snuggle. Now they still at 16 and 14. Now they want to cuddle. Do it. Mm-hmm. Do it. Show them. But today, I was reminded of an episode of, for those 90 babies, A Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, mm-hmm. where he's in the living room with Uncle Phil.
Yeah.
And he's asking his Uncle Phil why his dad doesn't want him.
Why does he want
that episode? Yeah, that episode hits hard. It hits mm-hmm. home, bro.
For everyone.
It hits home. Yeah. Why doesn't he want me? And he's fucking swinging in the air and shit like that. And swinging, he's trying to hit the air or whatever. And it's reminding me, I was reminded today about that episode. And it reminded me of, that's what Nick is going through right now. He's fighting himself for why she doesn't want him. But at the same time, he kind of doesn't want her around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, that's a perfect example. I mean, to kind of bring him back, right? Like, in the whole series, Will Smith was fine.
Yeah.
The moment dad came back
into the picture,
it hurts because there's a level of expectation, whether they want to accept it or not. There's that glimpse of chance that, oh, well, I may get the same love that, you know, that I've wanted, or that I see my other siblings get, or whatever the case may be. So when it doesn't happen, it's, and again, it's like, I'm doing these great things. I have this event. You know, I'm in this band. Why don't you want to go?
Yeah. Like, for example, when Layla was in therapy and counseling back when I first took custody, the counselor, therapist said, in order for this little girl to get better, she needs to be away from her mom. Mm-hmm. But I had court documents that said otherwise.
Yeah.
So are you going to go tell the judge this? Because in the meantime, I got to take her to the kids. She mm-hmm. has to see the kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's been good this week, man. No complaints. You know, he's been real good. I see him interacting with his friends, and he has, like I told him, he has everything that a 16-year-old boy should have right now. He's got friends. He's got his phone. He's got a roof over his head. Meals every day. He's got it, bro. He's mm-hmm. living the life, bro. You know, he's doing better than Richie Rich was. Yeah.
But does he have everything internally?
That's the part that he did agree.
Yeah.
He did agree to say, Dad, okay, find me a counselor.
Yeah. A therapist. That'd be good. No, seriously. I don't know about other cultures, but our culture, obviously, we look down upon it a lot that, oh, it's because you have issues. I've always been like, nah, that's a way to find yourself. That, like, people say, oh, you know, you should go and find yourself. Go find yourself. If you don't know how, again, that's what a guidance counselor is for. They're helping you guide you to help find yourself so you can continue to grow. And also, not only that, like you said, recognize your triggers, confront them, overcome them, or at minimum, learn to deal with them through other types of exercises and stuff. You know, so it's only a positive. So I've always been a big fan, and I've always encouraged.
Yeah.
That's good, though.
I mean, that kind of brings up the next kind of the main topic, which is, obviously it sounds like my son should have been the main topic, but it brings up the topic of pretty much how much do we love our kids?
Yeah.
Right? So, example, I, without thinking about it, went and got him his album. I didn't even mm-hmm. look at the price. I just got it, right?
Yeah.
And went and got him their phones and whatever. I wanted them to have TVs in their room and their monitors and all that bullshit. Material bullshit, right?
Yeah.
That's how I show them how much I love them. But how much is too much?
No, right? Yeah.
So, yeah. Like we said last week, when Ricky, when I have regular returning guests, and unless they have a serious topic or whatever, we're going to talk about stuff that either was vented?
Yes.
To one of us, or I read on the internet, or Ricky read on the internet, or something.
Brought to our attention pretty
some,
much.
Something that caught my eye. Some pinche chismes, bro. Pinche chisme, bro. Anyways. The 626 cheese man. Ah! No, I'm playing. But it kind of hit home. This one that I read the other day, it hit home. And so I read it on Facebook, and this lady, she's married, and they've been hurting her husband. Her husband pays all the bills, every single bill. And apparently her job was just to save money. And apparently at one point they had a nice chunk of money that, you know, they could retire, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Her daughter married 4 years prior, or let's say 4 years ago from today, right? And in those four years, every month, the daughter has come to mom and said, hey, I need a little cash. Hey, I need a little cash. So the
for
mom.
For 4 years?
For every, 4 years, bro. Every, that's what I read.
48 months. Holy. Okay.
Right? Uh-huh. Hey, I need help. I need help. I need help. And the mom, because she loves her daughter so much, she's over here providing and giving her the money that she needs. Mm-hmm. Then now they put her in a hole. Her savings account is gone.
Oh, shit.
Her saving account is gone, and she doesn't know how to tell her husband that money is gone. So my first reaction was cut the fucking umbilical cord. Your daughter is a grown-ass adult, and that she needs to fucking wipe her own ass.
Wait, but she's married, though, too,
right? Exactly. Exactly. Mm. Which reminded me of when we came and I had a conversation with my mother, our mother-in-law, and I told her, babe, give me your Discover card.
Yeah.
Here you go, senora. She's married now. She doesn't need this anymore. Right? That was the first thing that came to mind when I saw this post.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, lady? Like, now that... you and your husband are in the hole because you're wiping your daughter's ass?
I would ask this question to her. I'd be like, okay, what was it that she needed help with every month for 4 years that you couldn't tell your husband? It sounds like something secretive, obviously. You know? So that would be one thing. Like, well, you know, and secondly, it'd be... there is no easy way, you know, you gotta, like you said, you gotta cut the umbilical cord and you gotta rip that band-aid off. Hey, homegirl was going through this or whatever the case, whatever situation is. So I've been helping out with this, but downside.
Dude, them dogs have really been going at it for this past 37 minutes.
They hate something.
Fuck, yeah, dude.
The ghost was in here, now it's out there.
Probably. Sorry, man.
No, that's all good. So, yeah, I mean, there's no way. But like you said, you got to cut that umbilical cord, you know? You got to be like, put them on a pain plan or some shit. Be like, yo, what? I mean, again, I don't know the severity of, or we don't know the severity of what the issue was that she needed the help for every month.
It didn't get into details, but it was the fact that she pretty much blew through her savings, through her and her husband's savings, to continue to fucking...
Well, put yourself in that situation. Because we're on topic with Nick. Let's say Nick, fast forward, you know...
Which cheek do I wipe first, kid? The left or the right?
Yeah. No. Yeah, seriously. No, so like... But that's what I'm saying. Like, he comes to you with something that's like somewhat serious. Not just like, hey, Dad, I need help on this car payment. You know, no. It's like something like, you know, some form of medical procedure that needed to be done... You know, but the insurance wasn't cover it. So, you know, so it was going to help with the monthly to cover that cost.
I always believe in the needs and wants.
Yeah.
Right. So today, did we need that album? No. Mm-mm. That was a want.
Yeah.
Did I need the deodorant that I bought with it? Yes. Did I need the gel? Yes. Didn't need the album.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the situation.
Yeah, of course.
So, and hate to throw my mother-in-law under the bus, but for a long time, the wife had a credit card that was didn't get paid. And for a long time, our mother-in-law tried to pay that bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her no. and even me. So when I first took custody, when I first went and hired a lawyer, our mother-in-law spot me the cash. Mm-hmm. She didn't know me. Shit, I was only with her daughter for like 6 months.
Oh, wow.
They have no idea who the fuck I am.
Yeah.
But they knew I loved my kids.
Yeah.
So she spotted me the money. After we had custody of the kids, dentist, fuck, man. My insurance wasn't covering all of it. Mm-hmm. She hooked us up. So we're talking about almost, I'm going to say $7,000, $7,500, some shit like that. And I'm paying her monthly, right? I already even direct deposited from my paycheck to her bank account every month. Boom. I'm not going to go and take money out. Just this way, it for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, Suela. I don't have it this week. I don't have it this month. Blah, blah. Bullshit. There is no... Exactly. Sorry, we can't pay the water bill today because I pay my Suela first. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So she... Even though I still owe her money, she felt like we were in a jam, she wanted to give us more.
Yeah.
And I'm no. That's why when I found out that my wife had a credit card, I'm like, the fuck, who's paying for this credit card? Your mom is? Nah, fuck that shit. Give it back. You are my responsibility now. Mm-hmm. So she always tried to, you know, like I said, help us out. But I'm like, this is something that it's just a minor thing.
Yeah.
A minor thing. Like, again, we went to the dentist. The boys had horrible teeth. And we're talking, the dentist looked at us like we're pieces of shit.
What are they feeding them rocks?
Where we were like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I would bring in court documents. We just took custody. This is obviously one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
Okay. She helped us out. Like, even though she already gave me the retainer for the lawyer, when it came to stuff like this, I accepted it because it was for my kids' teeth. Mm-hmm. Right? To make my monthly payment on my credit card? No. I don't need it. No. And I paid her off, bro. Last July, I made that last payment. I felt... When we went to Nueva Vallarta, bro, that shit felt great that we were the only ones that didn't owe her money.
Yeah.
Even the trip was paid up front. Boom. Mm-hmm. Done. Done. I don't like to owe anyone money.
Yeah.
Especially my mother-in-law. Okay. So, like I said, back to the... I went on a rant right there. Okay. Again, it was their teeth. So, that was a need. Mm-hmm. My credit card payment, that's a want.
Yeah.
So, if my son comes and says, Daddy, I can't pay my cell phone bill this month. Interesting. Okay.
I'm like, well, then you don't deserve a cell phone. I'm sorry. You know, well,
but in this case, okay, I'll pay your phone bill. But I got a backyard and he's cleaning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
If they want to come over to the house and grab a couple bit of food to take to wherever they go live, because I told them they can stay here as long as they want. I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit. They're going to fucking take care of me.
Yeah.
They're taking care of me. The moment they fucking get a job. Really? You're working at McDonald's? JoJo? McDonald's too? I quit. I'm quitting. I live off of their salary now. $20 an hour, bro? Even though JoJo said the other day that he wants to go do what Brother Danny does. And let them slap him on the side of the head. What the fucking problem? Nothing to my brother's profession, but... My son's not going to be driving around the fucking... And he was all proud of it. I'm going to go drive all the states. And so it depends, man.
Yeah.
It depends. So we don't know. Like I said, Nick comes and says, hey, I need food. Okay. But first I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Oh, you have a brand new computer at home, but you don't have food? Sell your fucking computer. In fact, I'll pawn it. Pawn it with me. Here you go. Yeah. Give it to me and I'll... Here you go. When you pay me back, you get your computer back.
Yeah.
Pawn shop, bro.
Smart too.
It depends, bro. It just depends. Again, I can't make my car payment. Why'd you get a fucking car?
Why'd you get that car?
Why'd you get a Lexus?
Yeah.
Why'd you get a fucking Tesla?
Should've got a Honda.
Should've got a fucking 1995 Honda. Yeah. Again, it depends. It depends, bro. It's just, but to continue to wipe your daughter's ass every fucking month for 4 years, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I would have to assume like that 4 years sounds like it's either something severe, like a medical thing, or it's like, hey, can you pay our bills? You know, we're saving for a house. Can you pay our apartment and phone and, you know, like, can you pay all this shit? You know, because obviously if she saved enough where they can retire off of, that's a big chunk of change that they lost in 4 years that was going down the drain. That's why it right away for me, I'm like, it sounds like it's a big chunk of change, which is probably medical. Medical usually pretty expensive, you know, and those are high payments. Or they're just like, hey, you know what? Well, so-and-so and I are saving. So can you cover this? And then when we buy, you know, this house, then we'll pay you back.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like I told Bethy, I was like, look, what your family sometimes fails to understand. Yeah, your mom will gladly help them. Our suegro will gladly help us. But how much more do you guys want her to work to make up for that? Because at the same time, too, if they're asking for funds, how fast can they pay back those funds if they're asking for it? Obviously, a small loan, like $1,000. Okay, you know what? Yeah, you can probably do that within the year. But me asking for something big, how much longer do you want her to work to make up for that? You know, so that's what I say is to kids that are listening with their parents. Yes, your parents will always help you. It's hard for I think it is hard for a parent to say no, you know, without even having a kid.
I could have told Nick no yesterday. But I didn't. I lost sleep.
Yeah, see, exactly. But I think, too, we have to also look internally and be like, okay, well, how much I want to, you know, how much of a load I want to throw onto my parent?
Yeah.
You know, so something for food for thought.
Yeah, for no, them. I'll always help. I'll always help my boys, yeah, but it depends on.
Of course, yeah.
It depends. Come on, bro. Like, fucking tap into your fucking savings. In 4 years, you fucking tapped out of savings?
No. I mean, the only. Nah. I honestly can't, besides like life saving, can't think of like a reason. I'd always be like, no. Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's always a way out.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a way for you to make funds. You know, or live within your means. Oh, well, can you cover this? It sounds like you can't afford the house. Oh, you want me to lose my house? I don't want you to lose your house. I'm just saying sell your house. You know?
Downgrade for now.
Yeah, fuck downgrade.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want me to drive this car anymore? It's not what I want. It's what you can afford. You know, exactly. I'll make their car payments while they're going to school. Because, hey, you know what? That's a trade-off, right? You go to school, hey, I'll pay for, you know, a beater, or I'll buy cash for a beater.
Vice versa, I'll pay for school. You figure out how to get to school.
Yeah, see, more of that, right? Yeah. Or that. You know, but again, you're not going to live for free.
Right.
You know, so you have to learn the responsibility.
Let's quiz Officer Ricky here. He's about to be a dad come December. And I just thought about this shit out of nowhere right now. What is this shit that you're buying your infant child that's not here yet? Some bushy ass fucking outfits that she's only going to wear for one. So coming from a guy that just said what I've been saying about cutting the umbilical cord, what's going to happen when your daughter comes to you, bro, and says, hey, dad, I want this new purse and fucking $20,000 purse. And she's like 45, bro.
Oh, no, 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 no. So I bought my 1-year-old or my unborn child.
Unborn child.
A nice little onesie for our little going home or coming home outfit. And not only that, but I also bought Bethy and I from the same brand, an outfit as well for our first photo. And what I told my homies were asking the same thing, like, dude, why? I was like, one, she's my first princess.
Already a princess.
And I was like, two, it's something that later on, you know, it'll be like the family little memoriam that we pass on. Like, hey, you know, because I got it unisex for that reason. You know, for any of the future kids to come, that'll be their first outfit. And then obviously it'll be passed on from there. But secondly, you know, I want her to know that, you know, yes, we will always take care of her and we'll provide as much as we can. But at the same time, too, when she's older, there's not going to be handouts. Like you said, everything will be a trade-off. Okay, you want a phone? Because that's what my dad did to me. You want a phone? Okay, well, here, reach this milestone. Or reach this milestone and complete X amount of chores.
Yeah.
That was the trade-off. You know, and they're like, okay, cool. Then you got to do this. When it came to my my car, I just got my parents' extra car. You know, they never went and bought me a car. Actually, my uncle ended up giving me one that he couldn't get rid of. He ended up giving it to me. It was a Toyota Matrix. You know, so yes, they spoiled me in different things, but when it came to stuff like that, they made me earn it first. So that's the same thing that I want to do. Make them earn it first. You know, if they come like, oh, well, Dad, you know, we live like this. I'm used to living like this. Like, I've seen some of those TV shows where they're like, well, like, the parents are wealthy and they're like, well, hey, I'm used to living this way. You want me to, like, figure it out? Cause that's what I did.
Yeah.
I figured it out. If you want to continue to live a certain way or above, you got to figure it out. But if not, guess what? You're going to be struggling. And I'm not going to let you live in the streets, but, you know, you're not going to be staying in.
So you're saying Palisades. That if your five-year-old princess that we so-called called her already comes to you at 5 years old, Daddy, Daddy, I want this Michael Kors purse.
I'll let Bethy find it at Ross. And we'll just write MK on it.
I want to see that, bro. Guys, today, October 27th, 2000.
Here we go again, dude.
2023. This guy said.
You know what it was? It's the album. Probably. That's why. It's the 1989 album. When you said that, I'm like, that's what it was. It was the album.
Yeah. Fucking album. Fucking Taylor Swift, man. She's ruining football. She's ruining my podcast. She's ruining my life.
She's taking over. That's what she's done.
That's the one thing I told the lady, man. I'm like, fuck, man. Can I just watch football without seeing her freaking mug on TV? But anyways, so you're saying pawn shop, or you're saying the secondhand store
Ross,
for Michael Kors.
Yeah.
Ross. Okay.
Yeah, no, that I've always been a big, this is a bad example because I'm contradicting myself. But like I told Bethy, I'm like, I didn't have that type of nice stuff growing up. Like it was, I mean, like my, like I said, you heard my parents, they were like, you had nice shit. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it was.
Which I still haven't had them on the podcast to fucking talk about your bullshit.
I'm like, it was, but when you go to a private school, it wasn't nice compared to what everyone else had. So to them, I was like in the lower class. Because I guess lucky early on, I didn't care because I was like, I'm going to dirty it anyways. I'm too active.
Yeah.
You know, I'm running all over this blacktop, running in the dirt and shit. Like, I didn't care about this shit's gonna get dirty. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, now it's a little different, but.
All right, I got another one. Your 5-year-old princess. Oh. Daddy, Daddy, Dio Andy's my favorite.
I'll be like, the key thing is you called me daddy still, though.
All right, cool. Because look at freaking Mateo, bro. Huh?
Yeah.
I want Dio Andy to be my Nino so he can bring Nick over more often. Damn it.
No, I don't get
it. Well, back to the kids, man. That's the one thing about, like, having what you want. Back to the whole loving your kids and shit. So Nick, he was, like, kind of making fun that, you know, not making fun, but wrong choice of words, but that, you know, we were there. We were there at the school, and one of his friends, her name was Victoria. It's funny because I'm taking photos and she is serious face, bro. Serious face.
Yeah.
And I told her, I'm like, I need you to smile so I can take a nice photo of you. And she's like, I'm focused on what I'm doing. I don't smile. So right before the band started, right before I started performing, my wife yells, Victoria, smile. And she started laughing, bro. And I took a couple shots of her smiling. I got it. I got the shot, right? And so pretty much that same individual, that same girl told Nick, be happy that your parents are here because mine aren't.
Yeah.
Mine aren't. So I think that's why, Nick has been a little bit more chill since, because he's being reminded from his friends that your parents are here.
Yes and no. So let me elaborate
further. Daddy, Daddy, what?
Yeah. Let me elaborate further on what I mean by that. Yes, he is obviously appreciative, but for a kid that plays sports and constantly looked in the stands, that's honestly early on when my grandpa passed away, that's what affected me kind of the most. Was he was always, because my dad was always in the stands and he was always recording my games, because at a young age when you're playing for other teams, you're not having film. I learned film early on with my dad. He would play the film, and he would like break it up kind of like how you did. He would edit it to show me where I fucked up at. Like, look, this is where you fucked up. Look, you did this, you did this. And but at the same time too, he knew, like, hey, if you did something, like, oh, look, see, when you did this, the defender did that, and that's what gave you the opportunity to do this. So, and if I was fucking up in the game, you know, God forbid, I look at my dad would do a certain whistle, and I knew what it was already. And he would, I would look at the stance, and he would do like the I'm slicing your neck type of thing. That means I'm fucking up. I'm like, oh, fuck. So I didn't like to look at the stands for my dad.
Yeah.
But I'd always look front row to my grandpa. Because he was always there.
So what you're saying is you wish that I was your dad.
No, what I'm saying was when he passed away and stopped going, it obviously I was happy that I still had my support there.
Yeah.
But with that person that I still cared about, that was constantly going, it was a constant reminder that they weren't there anymore.
Right.
And I think that's with Nick is the same thing. He sees you guys. And he feels your guys' support. But there's still a second half of him. Second half is mom.
Yeah.
He sees maybe mom supports other kids certain ways. But he doesn't get that for himself. So it's a reminder that, hey, there is love. I'm loved. You know, I am supported. But there's still that piece.
That piece is missing.
There's still that piece that doesn't feel that support.
Yeah.
And then it is that, and it can potentially still be the reminder of the, well, yeah, but mom's not here though.
Like I said, bro, 41 years old, I'm still fighting that shit.
Yeah, man. It's, you
know, 41 years old, I'm still fighting that shit. I actually texted her on her birthday, which was, what is it, 25 days ago. Mm-hmm. And I texted her happy birthday, and she responded, thank you. And I sent her a picture of the boys, and I said, look what they're doing in band. And
yeah.
And she goes, that's so cool, you know, but it'd be nice to see him someday. And I responded with, well, we got to put our differences aside because we're all getting older.
Yeah.
And we're missing a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we left it at that, bro. That's it. I mean, the next text message she'll get from me is on her birthday next year.
Because
I am not trying to. I'm there we go. Now, I'm putting by me texting her, I'm putting the ball in her court.
Mm-hmm.
I did the same thing that I'm telling Nick to do. Well, I did the same thing. I'm doing to myself the same thing that Nick wants from his mom.
Yeah.
Let's see if she'll take the bait.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we'll see, right? I mean, we won't know until Nick opens up more, right? Yeah. Like, maybe he doesn't even want it. Like you said, maybe he just says at the surface. But maybe even internally still, he also still doesn't really want her there. And doesn't really affect her. But, like I said, we won't know. Or no one will know until it's not brought out. You know, like I said, I couldn't talk from my experience. And when you said that, I was like, no. Like, it took a while for me to kind of understand. And actually, I didn't even understand. I didn't accept it until I fully accepted that my grandpa was gone. That, hey, because again, every time I played, which was a lot, was he's not here no more. He's not there to support you.
Right.
You know, and like I said, it took a toll on me, and I couldn't accept it until I accepted that he was officially gone. And that was like years past.
Right.
I didn't tell, because I mean, it was something that was still minor, that it didn't affect me as much, but it had an impact. But again, maybe Nick's not even going through that, you know, but that's what I'm saying. Talking is always important. Because they'll tell you what the surface is, but underneath is what's important.
I still think he needs to release.
I think so
too. Well, Ricky, like we end, thank you for coming, bro. And like we end every podcast, thank you for riding with me.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Thank you for listening to Ride With Me, the Flat Tire Indie Podcast. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean.